to tell you about the most glorious moment in my life. I am an old man now. I've lived a good many years, and they've been good years, but they've been hard years. I mean, we were under Roman dominance over 400 years. And so we prayed and asked the Father to send his champion. We were looking for the consolation of Israel, the champion, the one who would come with might and power and destroy this enemy that was overruling. Oh, we prayed. I prayed and prayed and prayed. And nothing came about. I don't know about you, but I find waiting to be very, very hard. It's hard to wait. It's hard to wait for someone to come to God and give their heart to God. It's hard to wait when someone is ill and you're waiting and praying for the Lord to use that one that's wondrous in his power. Oh, we waited and we waited. I was despairing. I would look out over my people and I would see such a sinful nation. And I said, Lord, you must come. You must come. Lord, where are you? But one day, all of that changed. I was sitting by my window looking off into the hills, as I often did, reading my scrolls, the books of our fathers. You call it the Old Testament. I was reading and enjoying what I was reading when suddenly, God spoke into my heart. Oh, it wasn't audible. You wouldn't have heard a voice, but I know it is as true and as real as I'm speaking to you now. The Lord God said, Simeon, you will not see physical death until you see my anointed one, the Lord's Christ. I get chills even telling you this now. I was filled with praise. The magnificence of God was raining down on me. The Spirit of God was speaking into my heart. I would not see physical death until I saw his anointed one, the Christ. Well, I've got to tell you, I began to walk down every road in Jerusalem looking for this one. I knew he was coming. I just knew he was coming. He was going to come in all power and glory. He would be wearing armor. He would fight against our enemy. I turned every corner looking for the Messiah. But he wasn't there. For days and then weeks, I looked. But again, it just seemed like maybe I was wrong. Maybe God didn't speak to me. And I mean, who was I that was a sinful person? Who was I that God would reveal to me that I could see the Christ? Oh, and then there was always the devil, the accuser, the one who would try to deceive. He was saying to me constantly, Simeon, do you think God would speak to you? There is no God. And it became such a battle. But I tell you, this day, all of that changed again in a precious time of God meeting me. I was again reading my scrolls when I had the strangest urge to go to the temple courts. Dear friends, I'm old, and the temple is huge. It covers a sixth of our city. Everything is done there. buying. The vendors standing by their benches, come in, come here, here, see my wares, see my wares. The buyers and the sellers. There's the debating that goes on in our temple. They're marrying. Oy vey, it's everything that's there. So I hesitated. I didn't want to make that trek, but I couldn't let the thought go. And I believed then that it was from God. And so I went to the temple, but I didn't know where to go in the temple. So I just stood there. It was a blessing to stand there. The census had been taken, and everyone who was in the is that Jerusalem was their hometown, they had to come back and be counted. So the temple was filled with hundreds and hundreds of people. Oh, it was a glorious, glorious time. Watching all the young families come, seeing the temple, their mouths wide open, you could tell it was awe-inspiring. I stood there and watched for a long time. And then I was prompted to go to where the children were being circumcised. You know our law. A child is to be circumcised, brought before the Lord on the eighth day of his life. Now that was strange to me. Why would I go to the children? I mean, the champion, the deliverer, was going to come with great power. He would come with a horse and a sword. But then as I thought about this, and as I walked toward where the circumcision was being done, I remembered a rumor. A rumor had been traveling through the area that angels far north of us in Bethlehem had seen a glorious sighting of angels, and that these angels had said, a child would be born this day to you. So there was a rumor that perhaps this Christ was the child. So I walked toward this line, and I can still remember it so vividly, seeing this line of mothers and fathers with these young children in their arms. And I saw this one particular couple. Her name, I learned later, was Mary. Oh, she was just a teenager, and she was with child. She had this child with her. I learned later that her husband, Joseph, was a carpenter from Nazareth, far north. I mean, it was over 5 days' journey to get even to Bethlehem, let alone come to Nazareth. But Joseph had to come back to Jerusalem because of the census. But that's not what captured my attention. It was this bundle in Mary's arms. It seemed as though I was floating to it. I was unconsciously moving to this bundle. And there I was standing in front of them. They were looking at me like, who is this man? What is he standing? There were tears coming down my face. I looked into that bundle, and men and women, that child, I knew from the Spirit of God, that was the Christ. Hallelujah. I saw the Christ. I looked down into that bundle and I saw this child, this cherubic face, his little lips quivering. He would start to whimper and then he would smile and his little arms would move jerkily. I was so overwhelmed. Finally, I got my mind back and I got my voice back. And I motioned to the mother that I might have this child to hold. And miraculously, she gave me the child. I took this child and I lifted him to the heavens and I said, dismiss now, O sovereign Lord, dismiss now your servant, for I have seen your salvation. It was such a glorious moment. I knew then that all the promises of God find their yea and amen in this Christ child. I had seen, as I held that child, the entire plan of the Father's salvation. I said to this mother, "Oh, this mother, your child is going to be for the falling and rising of many in Israel." I thought, as in the days that followed, why did I say falling and rising? I mean, normally you say rising and falling. Ah, but then the Spirit of God spoke into my heart. And he told me, you must fall before you can rise. You must empty yourself. You must humble yourself. You must recognize your sinful nature and give your heart to this Christ. Otherwise, you cannot be saved. You must fall before you can rise. You must humble yourself before you can receive this child into your life. I told this mother that this child would be a light to the world. Oh, I could see him. I could see him traveling the countryside, traveling in the cities, healing those who are darkened because of the physical blindness. This Jesus, much older now, touching them, healing them of their physical blindness. But oh, so much more. This Christ healing people spiritually from their blindness. He was indeed the light of the world. I told this mother, this child is for the revelation, the salvation of the Gentiles, and for the honor and glory of Israel. I realized then, my friends, Israel would never, ever disappear. We would be vindicated for eternity for our bringing forth this child. Oh, it was a glorious moment. I can remember thinking in my mind, Lord, Isaiah has told us that Jesus, God, would always be with us. We don't need to be dismayed, that he would be our strength, that he would be our help. He would uplift us in times of trouble. And the Lord opened up another door of vision for me in this plan of salvation. I saw this baby, now a grown man, traveling the woods, traveling the cities, traveling the paths, healing the sick, raising the dead, loving all. And yet he was spoken against. He was denied. He was this sign that is spoken against. It was so painful as I saw all of this. Had to tell this mother, he will be a sign spoken against you, spoken against by the, not against Mary, but all the people. And I also told her a sword would pierce her own soul, not the physical sword that would indeed pierce her son, but a sword of pain no less hurtful. Oh, dear friends, I saw this Christ. I saw him living. I saw him condemned. I saw him placed on that cross. And I saw a much older Mary now standing before that cross, tears coming down her face. But oh, hallelujah, that is not the end. He was buried, but on the third day he arose. And he, this very moment, my friends, stands ready to receive you into his family if you will but confess him as Lord. Confess your sin and ask him to come in. He will gladly receive you. I pray this day that you would do that if you have not done so already. As I look back, my friends, on that time, I see a number of lessons that I would share with you. Would you receive these lessons? I would point out to you, first of all, that the old brought in the new. I mean, think of it. Simeon, me, I'm as old as dirt. And yet God used me to receive this Jesus. I had a preconceived notion. I thought he was coming on a white horse with armor and a sword that he would conquer. And I could have missed God's purpose. But I accepted the change. That's the first lesson. That we be open as God the Spirit leads us, open to change. God often moves in strange and mysterious ways. And at first they may seem difficult for us, but we need to lay those fears at the foot of the cross and allow him to speak. And if they are from him, we need to embrace them. In our day, that means we need to embrace that which we may not immediately embrace, but trusting God and receiving what he has for us. Change. Secondly, when I held that child and I held him to the heavens, I said, "Sovereign Lord, dismiss now your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation." Sovereign Lord. Perhaps you have heard that word, seen that word in your New Testament. But dear friends, the word the Lord gave me that day has only 5 times in your New Testament. And it means one who is a despot. At first I thought, a despot? I mean, a despot is one who can take life with impunity. He can take anything that he wants. Ah, but when you apply that term to a gracious and holy and loving God, it simply means he is Lord over you. He is a Lord. He is the Lord over all that you are and all that you have. He is the one who can give life and take life. And so I have to ask myself, is he Lord over all that I, Simeon, am? Is he Lord over all that I have? And I must ask each of you as well, is he the Lord of your life? Is he the Lord over all that you have, all you aspire to? He is the sovereign Lord. And I adjure you, take him as your Lord as well as your Savior. Thirdly, my last lesson that the Spirit spoke to me. I said, "Sovereign Lord, dismiss now your servant in peace. Dismiss." And again, in the following days, as I thought back to the word that the Lord gave me, though this word dismiss is a military term. And my first response to the Father was, "Father, I'm not a soldier. I'm not a Roman centurion." Ah, but the Spirit spoke to me and he said, "Simeon, yes, you are a soldier. You're a soldier for the Lord. You're a soldier for me." And this word, dismiss, literally means that picturing a sentry who is on duty during the night, faithfully walking the wall, maintaining security, making sure that the enemy doesn't come in and steal and kill. And finally, after he has faithfully exercised his duties, he's relieved of his duty. His captain comes and relieves him, and he can go back, this sentry can go back to his tent, take his armor off, and rest. Do you see the analogy? If you are a believer, you are a soldier, and you now are a sentry walking the wall, maintaining peace, maintaining security. And there will come a day when you will be able to take your armor off in your tent and hear from a glorious God, "Well done, well done, my faithful servant." Amen. Amen. So my last word to you this day comes from 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 11. I would encourage you to write it down. 1 Kings chapter 20, chapter 11. 1 Kings 20, chapter 11. And it says this: "Let not him who puts his armor on boast like him who takes it off." Do you hear the principle there? It is one thing for us to put our armor on, but what the Lord is looking for is those who have been faithful, who have persevered through the times of difficulty, the times of hurt, the times of interruption, the times of surprise, who will be faithful through it all, maintaining their sentry responsibilities. And finally, when they are called home, then, and only then, do we take our armor off. God bless you. God bless you.